Hello and welcome to the Smart Energy Code Change Modcast for June 2023. I'm Bradley Baker and today I'm joined by Ben Giblin and Kev Duddy. Ben will be talking us through MP202, which is about an enduring solution for SMETS1 and SMETS2 PP mids, and Kev will give us an overview of MP168, which is about CPL security improvements. Before we get stuck into the modifications, we'd like to give listeners a quick summary of the past month in change. We've raised two new modifications. These are DPs 242 and 243. The change subcommittee agreed to send both of these to the refinement process, as well as MP168 and MP202 to the report phase. The change board also approved MP178 for implementation, and two modifications, MP166 and MP233, have been withdrawn. At the June working group, MP85B, 167B, 202, 217, 224, and 231 were discussed with members. Summaries of these discussions can be found on our website. We also have some open and upcoming consultations to look out for, which include a refinement consultation for MP224 and modification report consultations for MP168 and MP202, which we'll cover in a little bit more depth today. For more information on any of these modifications, you can visit the SEC website. So the first of the two modifications, which is currently out for modification report consultation, is MP202. This is the final consultation before it goes to change board for vote. Ben, can you give us a bit of information about why MP202 has been raised?
Yeah, sure, Brad. So some PP mids have been manufactured so they can perform as both a SMETS1 and a SMETS2 PP mid. The issue that's been identified in this modification is that the SEC's written in such a way that a PP mid could be either SMETS1 or SMETS2, but not both. So the DCC's raised this modification as several SEC parties have expressed the desire to use the same PP mid for both SMETS1 and SMETS2 purposes. Following feedback, the DCC is actually offering a tactical interim solution which involves creating distinct entries in the CPL for both SMETS1 and SMETS2 with differentiating firmware versions. The SMETS2 CPL entry actually uses a real firmware version, whilst the SMETS1 CPL version uses a fictitious firmware version.
Okay, so it's already a tactical solution. What's the enduring solution? How much would it cost?
So the proposed solution, or the enduring solution, involves having two rows of the same firmware version for each device model in the CPL. That's one row for SMETS1 and the other for SMETS2. This will mean that devices can be pre-notified as either SMETS1 or SMETS2, dependent on how the installing party chooses. The DSP will then use the SMETS version of the comm sub from the relevant smart metering system to determine which version of SMETS the system is, and then update the smart metering inventory accordingly. So the tactical interim solution actually already works, but this enduring solution will make it easier for users using PPMIDs in SMETS1 and SMETS2 systems. In terms of the cost for MP202, there are two different costs dependent on when it's released. So if MP202 is included in the June 24 SEC release, it will cost £503,552. This includes cost for design, build and pre-integration testing of £393,522, with testing costs of £110,000. So these costs have been reduced because it will be implemented alongside MP162. In the DCC impact assessment, the DCC noted that there will be a significant reduction in post-pre-integration testing costs because of this. However, should MP202 be implemented as a standalone release, it will cost £758,522. This includes the same costs of design, build and pre-integration testing of £393,522, but also with higher post-pre-integration testing costs of £365,000. The full breakdown of costs is available in the impact assessment, which can be found on the MP202 webpage on the SEC website.
I see. So what's the feedback been so far on the business case of the mod?
Yeah, so those in support of the mod have actually noted that MP202 will allow suppliers and meter installers to install PPMIDs more efficiently without potential install and commission errors and increased times to installs. And it will also benefit consumers as it's more likely they'll receive a working PPMID. However, we've had many responses who aren't in support of MP202, and they've noted that the costs and the impact assessment are high, and they've also questioned the number of devices which are impacted by this change. The main concern highlighted by parties is that there's actually no problem with the existing tactical interim solution being implemented by the DCC, and they believe we don't need to implement MP202, especially given the high costs involved. Just for clarity, there's no issue or no party has identified an issue with the current tactical interim solution, and that's why the parties against the modification don't want it to be improved.
I see. So when does the consultation close?
Yeah, so parties have until 5 p.m. on the 12th of July 2023 to respond to the consultation. We'll then be presenting this to the change board meeting in late July for a decision. And if anyone does have any questions, then please contact sec.change@gemserve.com.
Great. Thanks, Ben, for giving all the information on MP202. Next up, I've got Kev here to tell us more about MP168, CPL security improvements. Hi, Kev. Can you tell us a little bit more about MP168?
So as part of CPL submissions, manufacturers have to digitally sign the spreadsheet if it contains the hash of a manufacturer image. Currently, although the requirement is being lifted in the June SEC release, suppliers then have to endorse that submission, and they do that via email at the moment. The panel has an obligation, and in practice it's actually carried out by CCAS, to validate that the CPL submission does originate from the manufacturer. The issue is that at the moment the suppliers forward an email and the manufacturer can obtain their digital signing certificate from any certificate authority. So the security subcommittee would like to tighten up this control.
Okay, so how are we going to do that?
So the changes for the mod will require manufacturers and suppliers to only use ICI certificates to digitally sign the CPL submissions. Currently, manufacturers are not listed as parties that can obtain those ICI certificates, so that's being changed to allow them to apply for them. So there is added control there in that each person who has obtained an ICI certificate has been properly vetted. There's also a list of valid ICI certificates that can be checked to ensure the validity of any certificate used in the submission. That list is currently not accessible, so there are some minor system changes involved to change that so that people can check the validity of certificates being used.
So is it just suppliers and device manufacturers that are impacted by this then?
Yes, as they will need to change how they get their signing certificates at the moment, but also the DCC will need to make some changes to allow that certificate list to be available. And that's the bulk of the cost of the modification, is in the region of £10,000.
And it's currently out for the modification report consultation?
Yeah, that's the last consultation. So we're looking for respondents to provide a thumbs up or thumbs down on whether to approve the mod. And those responses will feed into the change board decision, which will take place at the end of July. And if they're approved, the changes will be implemented towards the end of August in an ad hoc SEC release.
Excellent. Thank you very much for talking to us today, Kev. Right, so that brings us to the end of today's episode. We hope this modcast has been interesting and informative. As always, we do appreciate any feedback and would like to know your views. So please reach out via email or phone. See you next time, guys.